The key really for us was to measure three things. One is a thing called sleep latency, which is your ability to fall asleep. So it's a really good sign of how healthy your sleep is. Can you fall asleep in sort of under 30 minutes? The next thing we were able to measure is how many times you wake up in the night. I think some people think you should never wake up, like you're going to wake up sometimes. And as you get older, you will wake up more. So it's not that waking up is a bad thing, but if you're waking up more than you should be for your age group, really is the thing. So we measured night awakenings, and then ability to fall back asleep is sort of crucial, especially for parents of small children. You're going to get woken up, but how quickly can you turn back and go back to sleep? And the third area was sleep quality. So this is a slightly subjective term. So it was a combination of the child's feedback on their positive associations with sleep, and also the parents' interpretation of how their children were feeling about sleep throughout the study as well.
Hey there, welcome to the Happy Habit Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew. We talk health and well-being every Monday and Thursday. Now, do you have trouble sleeping? Perhaps you have insomnia. Are you reaching for the coffee every morning, exhausted because it has taken you so long to fall asleep? Because you've woken up multiple times, or maybe you wake up super early every morning. Perhaps you're one of the many people who has been prescribed sleeping tablets, but are looking for an alternative to help you sleep better. Well, my guest today might be of interest to you. I'm joined by founder of Siest Sleep, Sheena Dunn. Sheena is a former Google employee who, as a mum and a business person with a hectic and stressful schedule, was struggling on 5 hours sleep a night. Then a chance encounter with a sleep specialist changed not just her sleep, but also her career. In this episode, we learn about the importance of sleep and why so many of us are not getting enough. Expect to learn about the downsides of traditional sleep aids. We learn about the phenomenon of sleep pressure and its relationship with being sleepy at the right time of the day. We hear about how light exposure resets our circadian rhythm. We discover that not everyone has the same optimum ambient temperature that promotes sleep for them. Plus, we learn about the link between sleep and proprioception, and how Sheena has harnessed this to develop a weighted sleep aid that has been proven to be effective at improving sleep quality. Plus, expect to learn tips to help you optimize your sleep. Well, I'm joined by founder of Siest Sleep, Sheena Dunn. Very welcome to the podcast, Sheena. You are fascinated by all things sleep. Indeed, you were discussing sleep in one of Ireland's national newspapers only last week, and that's where I found you. Before we come to your own story and your own background, why do you think so many of us are having sleep troubles these days? Because it literally touches everybody.
The reason I think a lot of us are having sleep trouble, or even not understanding why we're having sleep trouble, is combination, I suppose. I think a combination of poor education in terms of sleep knowledge is really poor, especially across Ireland, both in the medical world and in the general public. So I think a lot of people don't know what's normal, and what's normal at different life stages. I think even that alone would help people better understand their sleep and better prepare for it. I think another aspect of why people might be having more awareness, I suppose, of their poor sleep is more people are talking about it. So there is a little bit of information bubbling up, which is really exciting and useful. And as people become more aware, they come to talk to each other, engage, see the word sleep more in newspapers, in the media. And as a result, they're talking to each other and they're all saying, I'm going through the same thing. So I think it's a bit of a zeitgeist sort of moment at the moment for sleep as well. And as the more people talk about it, the more awareness they have and the more they realize that their sleep is not working for them. There's obviously the additional pressures of just being aware of everything that's going on in the world at the moment, and feeling nearly the responsibility of that. So I think the ability to quieten your mind and to relax before sleep is getting harder, because there's just so much information being thrown at us every day. So I think it's a combination really of poor knowledge of what normal is, more people starting to talk about it. So you think you're thinking about it a little bit more, and then the sort of sense of everything whirring in your mind, and finding it harder to stop a racing mind as well.
Well, certainly the conversation, I think, for me, when it comes to sleep, was prompted about 4 or 5 years ago whenever I happened upon a brilliant book that I'll pop a link to it in the show notes for this episode. It's by a sleep expert by the name of Professor Matthew Walker, and the book is called Why We Sleep. And I actually started this podcast 3.5 years ago talking about that very book. It was arguably one of the best and most informative books on sleep and sleep troubles, etc., and sleep research that I think I had ever stumbled upon, and it's kind of percolated into other people's consciousness, and people who don't have any science interest or background have also read this book too. So I can highly recommend that book, where he talks about all of the sleep issues that people are having, why they're having them, and then the downsides then of not getting quality sleep. If we can talk about your own story before we go any further here, because you were one of those very many people who had sleep issues yourself. And can you explain to us exactly what your background was as far as your own sleep troubles were concerned?
Yeah, of course. I think my story is quite a normal one. So I was working, leading a big sales team in Google, busy job. Our daughter was about 2. So you've got broken sleep a lot. My husband working a lot as well. So just general stresses with life. And I realized I was probably only getting about 5 hours sleep. And this then, I never became a chronic insomniac, but my view and our business's view is you don't need to hit rock bottom before you find a solution. And I'd love to start changing the story and conversation in Ireland, especially on that. You can tweak and improve something. But as a result of my poor sleep, I suppose I had a heightened awareness for sleep knowledge. So that book by Matthew Walker, for example, I devoured that. And I continued to research and learn more about sleep while I was working in Google. And we had sleep consultants talk to us as well. And I suppose I was just flabbergasted at how little I knew about sleep, and all of us knew about sleep. And then when I was finding the information, I couldn't find enough sleep solutions that were side effect free. In the world at the moment, and ones that would help for someone who is living a normal life and just wants something to improve. So that's really where I started. Didn't want to have something like a sleeping tablet, but knew this couldn't be the way my sleep was always going to be. So I set about trying to figure out what solutions were available on the market, and then started actually then creating my own invention.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the sleep tablets, because a lot of people, particularly on this side of the world, have an issue with taking sleep tablets simply because, well, they don't really address the origin of the problem. And obviously, when you're taking a sleep tablet too, you're taking a pharmaceutical drug. But on top of that, you're obviously subject then to side effects. But you're also not receiving a good quality sleep, because it's more of a sedative effect that you're getting from the tablets than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And there actually are a lot of people in Ireland who do take sleeping tablets. And the bigger challenge for them is it becomes a little bit of a crutch. I think it's becoming more well known that sleeping tablets really should be only used for a short amount of time in quite specific scenarios. And the more and more people are becoming aware of this, but there are still a high dependency for years on sleeping tablets, and people are afraid to come off them. I think what's interesting is often when people are prescribed a sleeping tablet, they aren't then prescribed a plan for how to come off the tablet. Those two things should be go hand in hand. I think the other challenge for people who are tired is you aren't able to change your habits when you're tired. You can hear all the brilliant advice and habits in the world, but when you're knackered, like it's impossible to actually do those steps. So what options actually are out there for people? And we're hearing a lot of the sort of same tips all the time. But I personally feel a lot of the sleep advice at the moment doesn't fit in with quite the sort of the messy normal life that most people have. We don't live alone in these sort of spa hotels where if we need to move our clock by 15 minutes, that's perfect. We'll just move everything forward. Like people are caring for older people, minding children, stressed. So I think it's sort of on us as sleep professionals and the doctors really to start showing new ways and new pathways for people that will fit in with their lives, so they can have hope that they can have better sleep.
And before we come to the new ways and new pathways, what pathways did you try that didn't work? Because I believe I read that you had tried at one point the weighted sleep blanket and you weren't fond of that.
Yeah, so that they work for lots of people. So like I'm a big fan of sensory products, obviously. But for me and for my partner, a weighted blanket, it was just sort of too heavy, basically. I think if you have a little bit of claustrophobia, it can hurt it. But also we share a bed, so it just didn't work for us. And our daughter was nipping in and out of the bed as she was waking up in the night. And you really can't have weighted products around anyone under the age of five. So I just wanted something that remained fresh and cool and also was more versatile. Because I think again, like my sleep changes throughout the month and most people's sleep does. Like the biggest question I'm asked is, do you always sleep really well? Like no is the answer. In the same way that if you're a chef, you don't always eat an amazingly wonderful meal every night. The difference is I have the tools and the techniques to both understand what's normal for me in my stage of life and also then to help me go back to sleep if I need to.
Okay, so you're working for Google and then you were having trouble sleeping at the time. You're working in a stressful job and you have a little child as well, and your husband is equally busy and equally stressed. And you then get a visit then from this sleep specialist, and that creates an epiphany for you. And that then prompted a transformation, even a career change for yourself. So can you tell us then about the steps then from that point onwards?
Yeah, like I'm such a curious person. I love learning and I also love making things quite easy for people to understand. So I love this idea that I can take some of the research that people have done, which often is only for the eyes of like a scientist to understand, and just making it more digestible. So the steps I took was literally just being online, researching, understanding, and then I started prototyping a product as well. Then I put my product into testing. But it wasn't until after I developed the product and actually was selling it that then I went back to college. So I went back to University of Oxford to upskill myself, but to learn from the best sleep scientists in the world. And I've been grateful to be able to do two of their sleep medicine modules. So both in insomnia and circadian rhythm disorder. Normally these again are sort of closed off for people like me. I have a sales and marketing background. But I was the only non-medical person there. I'm not trying to be a sleep consultant, but what I'm able to do now is I have the deep sleep knowledge from the best in the world. And my goal and our goal with our business is to then just start making sleep information more accessible for people, because there's amazing research being done at the moment and it shouldn't just be held by a small few.
Okay, so talk to me then, because we're itching to talk about this. You have developed this product that helps people sleep better. Can you talk to us, particularly to people who aren't looking at this video, can you describe exactly, and if you have the item, can you hold it up in front of you there, just to give us a sense of what the actual item itself involves and how it helps people sleep better?
So this is it here. So for those who can't see me, it's a weighted sleep product. We have a long and a short one, and it's one of the first medically recommended sleep tools that doesn't look medical. So it looks like something quite pretty. They're stripy. You place them on your bed as you would a decorative pillow. But the key for us is to have products that look lovely and feel nice so that you use them. So product adherence in the medical world is crucial, because there's no point in having something that you don't use. So our products are weighted, made in Ireland and guaranteed Irish, but they help you sleep because you don't have to think about how they work. So they stay cool and fresh, and they can go between your knees. They won't go flat. So they help with pre and post knee and hip surgery. They're very versatile. So if you have a sore neck, you can place it under your neck. But the key really is to help stop a racing mind. So that's one of the biggest challenges. People try to think themselves to sleep. And I'm sure you've heard, like, you can't think yourself to be thirsty. You can't think yourself to be sleepy either. So what we're really trying to encourage people to do is to get out of their mind. But again, if you're stressed and anxious, it's so hard to stop thinking. So the weight in this product does that for you. You don't have to do anything, which I love because I love things that just fit in, that don't require an awful lot of effort, and that are easy to use.
And the key to this and the sleep promoting element of this is a term called proprioception. Can you talk to us about the significance of this?
So people might have heard of deep pressure therapy. So this is where you might place a weight on your chest, and weighted blankets work in this way. Proprioception is that feeling of being grounded. So, you know, when you hug someone, or if you hold a small child, or hold a dog or a puppy, straight away you actually get out of your mind, and you start just being there in the moment. And that's what that weighted device helps you do, that feel grounded.
And then as far as, because I'm always interested in the science of things, then, and how can we confirm the efficacy of this product? And of course, you've worked in conjunction, I think, with Trinity College here in Dublin to prove the efficacy and to measure just how this works as far as helping people sleep better is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I've not only am I super curious, but I love data. So having worked in Google as well, I love data, I love research. So I wanted to do the same for our products. And Enterprise Ireland gave us a grant, an innovation grant, to work with a third level institution. And Trinity were an amazing partner. So they ran an independent study with children with additional sensory needs. And they took some of our weighted body sleepers. We did a combination of sleep diaries. And the key really for us was to measure three things. One is a thing called sleep latency, which is your ability to fall asleep. So it's a really good sign of how healthy your sleep is. Can you fall asleep in sort of under 30 minutes? The next thing we're able to measure is how many times you wake up in the night. And I think some people think you should never wake up. Like, you're going to wake up sometimes. And as you get older, you will wake up more. So it's not that waking up is a bad thing, but if you're waking up more than you should be for your age group, really is the thing. So we measured night awakenings. And then ability to fall back asleep is sort of crucial, especially for parents of small children. You're going to get woken up, but how quickly can you turn back and go back to sleep? And the third area was sleep quality. So this is a slightly subjective term. So it was a combination of the child's feedback on their positive associations with sleep, and also the parents' interpretation of how their children were feeling about sleep throughout the study as well. And I'm really proud to say, like, we had it was 131% sleep latency improvement. I think it was 66% reduced night awakenings. And then it was 100% sleep quality improvement. So these stats, look, they actually rival like something called Sleepio, which I'm sure you're aware of. It's a wonderful cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia app. It's actually free in a lot of places in the UK, and I would love to see it be free in Ireland. It's an amazing tool. But the stats from our research rival what the Sleepio app was doing as well. So there is data and science behind something which can look really nice as well.
That's so important, really, certainly for me. And that was really the main reason why I asked you onto the podcast, was because we have to have scientific proof and evidence to show the efficacy, particularly when we're making statements about particular products. I want to talk again about temperature and about temperature change. And you mentioned earlier about women and about temperature change throughout the course of any given month, for example. This would also appeal to, let's say, perimenopausal and menopausal women. Can you talk to us about how that would be the case?
Yeah, absolutely. So children sleep hotter at night, and also peri and menopause. So at the same time, what I wanted was a solution that worked in a universal way. So I'd be in perimenopause now, and you get hot flushes or night sweats. So the last thing you need is something hot on you as well. But often people like to, you want to feel comfort. So how do you balance those two? So a lot of time and thought went into the covers of our products. So what they are is lensing tencel. So tencel, much like silk, can have lots of different types and lots of different versions of quality. But this particular tencel is sustainably made and comes from Germany. So it's an amazing quality product. But the key to it is it's temperature regulating. So when you touch it first, it will feel fresh and quite cool, but it will quite quickly then just become not super cold, but it'll never get warm. And it'll always feel sort of like the underside of a pillow, you know, that when you flip over a pillow. And this is so useful then as you sleep, because it helps you maintain the right temperature. You've probably heard a cooler, darker room is useful for sleep. And that's because it helps you sleep.
And is it a case that the actual device itself helps to dissipate heat away from the body, so as the body maintains a comfortable temperature that you can sleep at?
So even if I'm really warm, it won't become really hot. Yeah, it helps you stay fresher and cooler.
Okay, maintain your body temperature. Now, in the coming days in Ireland, certainly, and I know in elsewhere around the world over the next few weeks, people will have to exchange their clocks. And I'm just wondering, what advice would you have for people, just in a general sense, when it comes to that time of the year? Because it can cause an awful lot of disruption for people's sleep patterns, literally just moving their clock by 1 hour.
1 hour. What I sort of love about this time is it makes people think about sleep, which is brilliant, because actually so many people don't even think about their sleep. And as a lot of clocks change automatically, people think about it less and less. So I love that people for two times of the year think about it. So my personal view, and I think a view of an awful lot of sleep experts around the world and sleep professionals, is that we should stay at standard time. So I'm conscious that this particular video will be seen over the year. So yes, the autumn change is happening this weekend, which is the move from daylight saving to standard time. But the real focus is actually in spring, and the real sort of more heightened problems with our health happens in the springtime change. So what we're hoping is that this change from daylight saving to standard is one of the last times that it ever happens, and that people start recognizing the impact of just 1 hour on your sleep. It's the cumulative impact. So in spring, what happens is you lose for about 40 minutes sleep. You then go to sleep a lot later because the sun sets later. You don't get that melatonin trigger because it's getting darker later. And why does any of this matter? Well, it matters because you have to get up usually in the morning to go to school or go to work. So your sleeping time is becoming condensed. And actually, when we realign our clocks in spring, we align them in the wrong direction completely, especially for people in Ireland. So it's a definitely a topic that I'd love more people to be interested in. For this particular weekend, a lot of people will actually feel refreshed, because there's an awful lot of people who use their weekends to catch up on sleep. And there's different viewpoints on that, but the people who do feel the need to catch up on sleep this weekend will actually feel more refreshed. For people who have small children, if they wake up at about 7 in the morning, they're going to wake up earlier. So for about 2 weeks, you'll have an early morning household. For people who have sort of morning insomnia, like waking up at about 5 a.m. and can't go back to sleep, it will be harder for them as well, this particular clock change, because as I said, it'll feel like 4 o'clock. And so that sort of social jet lag, or really being awake at times that don't suit your life, that'll be harder for people who naturally are waking up a little too early at the moment.
Well, building on that, I found a fascinating and a scary fact online researching this particular interview. A Michigan study found that a 24% increase in heart attacks in the days after clocks move forward in springtime, compared with a 21% reduction in heart attacks in the days after the autumn change. So that really verifies what you say. But I didn't realize that a simple change of 1 hour in our clocks could have such lethal consequences for some people.
Yeah, it is. Now, I'm not a proponent of sort of the shock value of certain stats like that, because I think there'd be a lot of people who'd question some of the stuff. But it is known that in springtime, there are higher numbers of car accidents, higher cardiac incidents, increase in mental health problems from suicides, etc. It is dramatically impactful on your body the week and even the few weeks after. So as an example of just how long it takes you to recalibrate. So I, because I'm so obsessed with sleep, I've taught myself obviously to wake up without an alarm clock. And it will take me about 3 weeks to be able to wake up naturally at the right time from a clock change. Like, that's how long it takes for 1 hour change. It's crazy how much it can impact you. So what I'd love for people to start doing is to start noticing noticing their sleep no more. I'd love to hear less of the, I only get 5 hours, but I power through and I'm grand. I'd love people to start prioritizing it as much as they prioritize buying leggings or lipstick. And I'd love to see them prioritizing it so much that it becomes one of the focuses of how you live your life.
Okay, so let's talk then about tips or advice that you would have generally when it comes to getting quality sleep, regardless of what time of the year it is. What should people be doing more of, and what should people be doing less of if they want to improve the quality of their sleep overall?
Yeah, it's a great question. Like, one of the things I say is I have really strong opinions, but they're often loosely held. And the reason I say that is, like, sleep knowledge is evolving so rapidly at the moment. There is more EU money being funded, like exceptional projects, like Colin Espy in Oxford is such a leader in terms of the research that's been done. So what I mean by that is every year we're finding out things that we may have held really tightly a few years ago about sleep actually don't ring true anymore. So I think some of the things that people can do and are core to our sleep, if you don't know where to start, is to focus on light. So the two types of light, the natural light and then artificial light. And I would, like, I'm a huge believer in some of the, like, Dr. Andrew Huberman work. And I think, again, it's just grounded in physiology. It's grounded in science. There's data coming through on it. Go outside without your sunglasses, get some sunlight into your body. And I suppose use that moment in the morning to know that you're setting yourself up. So you're really setting your sleep-wake cycle. You're setting yourself up for more energy in the day and to feel more sleepy at night. I think if you don't know where to start, it's a brilliant thing. If you don't know where to start as well, like, just get up at the same time. The reason for that is it creates a thing called sleep pressure. So it then will encourage your body to feel more sleepy later on. I think it can be really hard to tell someone to go to bed at the same time every night. Again, I'm very aware and recognize people's complex lives. And I think telling people to have quite a rigid schedule, they can end up hearing the information and never doing it. So I don't see the value there. And also it can create the sense of that information doesn't fit with my life. So I don't feel hopeful about my sleep and I feel like I have no control over it. So what at Siest and what I always recommend is to control what you can control. And this getting up in the morning is something that you usually can. And it'll then over time, quite soon actually, it'll start encouraging you to feel naturally more sleepy in the evening. So light, artificial light is well known. I think it's a combination of the, like, there's new studies on blue light at the moment, and they're saying it's maybe not as bad as other things. I think it's probably quite hard to unpick both the light and the actual knowledge overload that people are getting, and to distinguish between which is the actual cause and effect of the active brain. But I think as something we can do quite easily is to just reduce your tech use or reduce your sort of information consumption later in the evening. And again, to focus on quietening your mind as a result. So it's like, prioritize your sleep and value it, because, like, I prioritize my family. As a result, it means I do things in my life that focus on my family. So if you prioritize your sleep, you'll end up having things in your life that you'll do to improve it. Focus on light and then try and control when you wake up.
Yeah, some good advice there. Sheena Dunn, give us your website so people can find out more about your products and the work that you're doing at the moment.
Siest Sleep. So it's, we all sell direct to consumer. So it's only on our website, Siest, S-I-E-S-T, sleep.com. We're a guaranteed Irish product, really proud to be. And my team all make the products in Dublin as well.
Great stuff. Well, I'm happy to endorse and to promote a guaranteed Irish product, and certainly something that can help people with something as fundamental and as important as quality sleep. Well, Sheena Dunn, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Happy Habit Podcast. A reminder, we are now on Instagram and YouTube. Just search for the Happy Habit Podcast on both platforms. And if you're enjoying listening to the series, please like, subscribe, share, leave the podcast a positive review. And until next time, stay happy.